I'm just feeling kind of frisky tonight. Watch out. Oh, praise God. It's so good to be here in the house of the Lord. You know, to think that I might be stuck way up in Canada fishing, that just... breaks my heart. But not really. I'm happy to be here. I'm just went to the physical therapist today, and he's still shaking his head because he cannot believe that my leg is healing and my knee is healing like it is. And he did all these strength tests, and thank you, Jesus. So we are setting him up for a encounter with the Most High God. It's a wonderful thing when you see God manifesting himself and he's telling you that you're several weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks ahead of where you should be, and your strength, and you're not using crutches and all that. And I'm just thanking God for his healing holy presence. Praise God. The title of my message tonight is When Your Faith is on Trial. You know, over the last 3 years or whatever, God has just continually led me to the subject of faith. And I think I've taught on faith almost every time that I had the opportunity to preach here at Calvary Gospel Church the last couple of years through some aspect of faith. And over that period of time, God has led me to a lot of wonderful concepts and precepts on faith. And I think over the last, 3 years, since Brother Crowder and I began to talk to this via email and on the phone, we were reading some of the same books and so on and so forth. So I think over what I found about faith was that it does not come instantly, that it's a period, it's something that comes to you over a period of time where you are applying yourself to the Word of God. And there's a way specifically that you can build your faith, and we taught on that a while back, that you can find the area in your life that you need faith in, and you begin to surround that area with the Word of God and begin to focus on that. And when we talk about finances here, we talk about healing here, we talk about the various aspects of your life, spiritual, emotional, whatever, God has an answer. He has a solution. And it all has to do with faith and building faith. And but tonight, I wanted to approach this from a little different approach. And subject tonight is when your faith is on trial. Because I found out that you can have all these attributes, all these things going through your heart about faith, but then when, as you're walking down the street and you fall into the manhole and you're plummeting down in the abyss, and suddenly it's seeming like all the faith leaves you. Sister Moran can attest to that when the doctor looks her right in the face and tells her, oh, by the way, you have breast cancer, or some of you have had some enormous trials and things come to your house, and is all we all know that this is not a cake ride here. This is not something that real life comes to us, whether we're Christians born again or whether we're just in the world. But we understand that we serve a God, and he's given us the opportunity that, yes, we will experience trials, we will experience adversity. And even when you're paying real close attention to how you're living and how you're conducting your life, you still are going to have issues come your way that God is going to use those issues to build your faith. He's going to use these circumstances to do something in your life that could never have been done without an adverse circumstance or situation come up. And as much as we really do not like to have some of these things come, I think most of us would attest to the fact, I think most of us here tonight have been baptized and are filled with the Holy Ghost, that as you look back, Brother O'Neill, you can see some of the things that were horrible at the time that they happened. Brother O'Neill was in Vietnam when a bomb went off and exploded and blew him halfway across the continent of Vietnam, and that was obviously a very traumatic, horrible thing, but it eventually led him to a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. And some of you went through illnesses and sicknesses and financial trials and so on and so forth. But God can use all those things and help you prepare yourself for eternity. So let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Peter 1 and 3. It's amazing how God works as I begin to study this subject out and preparing a teaching message here. I became more and more engrossed in this, and God kept leading me to other things. And before I knew it, I was seeing things about faith that I guess I had not seen before. 1 Peter 1 and 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Reserved in heaven for you. Isn't that amazing? "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Now, manifold temptations would be interpreted in the Greek to test, to entice, to discipline, to examine, to prove. So when you go through a temptation, when you go through something that seemingly is almost too much for you to bear, God has a plan in that temptation or in that trial to prove you, to teach you, to help you. 1 Peter 1 and 7, "that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearance of Jesus Christ." So God's using this to approve you, "whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though we now ye see him, yet not believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." In 1 Peter 1 and 9, with all the things that happened to us, the end of all of this is receiving the end of your faith. The end of your faith, if you keep and hold on to your faith, the end of it, even the salvation of your soul. So you see, God is leading us through these various temptations and trials to what? Eternal life. Praise God. Adversity comes to all of us. And adversity would be trials, temptations, things that happen to us that the world might look at us and say, "My goodness, this is horrible, all these things that are happening to you." But we're not talking about the chastisement of the Lord. We can get off base a little bit and find out that God will chasten us. He will give us a good old-fashioned spanking at times. But we're not talking about that. That happens when we get in trouble with God by disobeying his word. 1 Corinthians 11:32. "But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." But even in our chastening, the Lord does the chastening like we, as a father, would reach out to our children and chasten them for something that perhaps they've done wrong. So In James 1 and 12, "Blessed be the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life." So temptation and trial, we spoke about right in the same context. Temptation and trial. Sometimes believers fail a trial, as described in James 1 and 14, but the problem is you failed the trial and you get to take it again. Isn't that great how God works through that? If you going through a trial or you are going through adverse circumstances, God wants you to exercise faith. And if you exercise faith at any given time during that trial, you will be relieved of that because your faith will overcome the circumstances. So if you're going through a trial right now and you feel like you failed, don't worry. God will send it to you again. You're getting an opportunity to go through this again. Now, I can say that because I've been through several trials 3 and 4 times, and it's because of the substance between my left and my right ears was not receiving what God had tried to get me to understand. Now, when you're in one of these things, the first thing you want to do is not run and hide. You want to run to your Bible. You want to run to the Word of God, and you better hope that you can come out with an answer as to the solution to your problem. Hallelujah, because we're all going to run into these things. If you're suffering from depression, God has an answer for that. God said he'd give us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If you're suffering from financial woes, he said he'd meet all of our need according to his riches in glory. In one of these other messages that I taught a while back, I talked about what comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart, and what's in your heart is going to determine who you are, what you really think about life and God and everything else. So if you speak forth from your lips those negative thoughts that are running around in there, you're going to receive exactly what you speak. But if you agree with the Word of God, things are going to change for you. And the other good thing to remember here, there's two things actually that you need to remember. First thing is all things work to the good of those who love the Lord. All things work together. All things. Providing that you get yourself lined up with the Word of God. If you'll get your eyes off of the problem and get them on Jesus Christ, the solution, then you will find that the problem no longer is a problem, because the solution is God's promises. Okay. Secondly, remember the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but he will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So no matter what you're going through, God had measured you. He'd looked at you. He put you through his holy microscope and said, yes, I believe that this brother, this sister is able to withstand this trial, this circumstance that's come. And sometimes I can tell you, I've been in some circumstances in the last 30 years that I did not think that I was going to be able to continue, that the circumstances were way beyond my faith. And if you come to a place where you feel overwhelmed sometimes, call a brother, call a sister, get together with somebody. You know, the Bible says that when the man was let down to the feet of Jesus, he had four friends with him that ripped open the roof and lowered him down. So don't be a spiritual hermit. Don't let yourself get set off to the side and think that nobody cares about you or nobody understands your problems or your circumstances. Don't do that. Find someone to bind with you in prayer, because God did not allow this to come to you because he wanted to hurt you or destroy you. He brought these circumstances that you might grow spiritually. Praise God. And I love that fact. And you've got to hang on to those things, because there will be a time that you're going to need to find a place in God. You're going to be able to have to bring up some things that are going to help you through this crisis. And if you don't have those things hidden in your heart, you better find somebody right away that will help you. Praise God. So you have to learn something about adversity. When you feel or you experience adverse circumstances, don't fight it. Run towards it and see what you can find out from the Lord or from his word. How do I handle this? If you're experiencing physical difficulties, don't take everything the doctor says as being the final exact word. Get into the Word of God. Begin to hide these things in your heart. Begin to get involved in God's Word on whatever circumstance that you're possibly of going through. See, it's easy to stand here when you're not going through a trial and talk faith. You can talk faith right before the Mack truck sideswipes you, or when your car falls apart, or before your financial conditions, but you need to understand that regardless of what's happening, there is a process that God is put together. So I wanted to just kind of pull back the curtain and let you take a look. And I found this article, and I thought it was just great. So I'm going to read this article. I'm going to help you. It helped me immensely to see just what it means to have a trial of faith, and my response to this trial, and what that really means on a spiritual level. So let's take we're talking about a trial here. We need to know what we need to take to our trial, to our hearing, to our court appearance, if you will. What evidence is admissible in our heavenly courtroom? What is it that God's going to take notice and he's going to respond to? So when your faith is going through a trial, we must understand what evidence we need to have with us to win. You're going to go through adverse circumstances. You're going to go through trials. You're going to have things come your way. But what do I need to get through it? Faith, this is somewhat of a revelation to me, maybe not to you. Faith precedes the actual receiving of what you ask for. Faith always precedes that what you ask for, because faith is the evidence you shall receive it before you've even seen it or touched it. You don't have it, you don't see it, you don't feel it, yet faith is the evidence that you've apprehended it, that you have it. Now, faith is a substance or the assurance of receiving what you've hoped for. People say, well, I've got a lot of faith, but your faith has to be reaching out into the supernatural and apprehending things. You know how you feel when you have that inner peace about circumstances when you're in the midst of a trial or something's going on, and you begin to pray and the scripture starts bubbling up inside of you, and all of a sudden you have a peace about it. You ever had that happen? That's what faith is. Faith, you should be terror-stricken. I remember going to the IRS owing thousands and thousands of dollars, and Brother Nelson, I think, was with me, and we're walking in, or I just came to the Lord. I didn't have any idea what I was going to do, but I felt a peace. You know, I felt, this is really cool. Tom said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't have any idea. But I said, I know this. God delivered me from alcohol and drugs and tobacco and all this. He certainly is going to deliver me from this. This is just money, you know. Well, we got in there, and things were just unbelievably orchestrated by the Lord, this man who had a dark cloud over his head, and I'm serious, it looked like it was going to rain in the room. I couldn't believe it. And I just sat there and I felt this great peace, and he says, well, Richard, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, I do know this. I said, I was recently baptized and filled with God's Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be in this room. Told you I felt a little crazy, but he looked at me and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost hits him. It looked like Tinkerbell, the dust, you know, just come. And he goes, well, he said, I think we can work this out. And I said, I do too. He says, how are we going to work it out? I said, I don't know. So he said, well, we worked over a couple scenarios. He says, well, come back to see me. And this is the funniest thing. Tom was sitting in the other room, and we're walking out of the room, right? And these guys are notorious for trying to be nasty. I mean, that's what they do. They try to intimidate you. Is that him? We're walking out of the room, and this guy has his arm around my shoulder. And he opened up the door, and we start walking out, and all of a sudden he realized that he was now in his own turf. And he goes, "Hoo!" Tom says, what did he say? I said, it was, well, you have to be there to appreciate it. But and God took care of all that. You know, and I'm not sure how he did, but thousands of dollars in less than a year's time, and the money just came in from various sources. So that's what faith is, that you come again. And now I could have fallen apart. I could have panicked. I mean, a lot of things can happen. So you're much better off just squaring your shoulders, like Brother Grant says, pretend like you're in your right mind, and just walk into it. Because God said he would take care of all of your need according to his riches and according to his glory. Okay. Now, one of the things that we struggle with, all of us struggle with, is being ill, sickness, disease. And one thing we got to remember, when God's word is involved in our sickness or our disease, because he's already given us these great and wonderful promises on healing, God is in it. The God factor begins to work regardless of where we're at in this. So what is the evidence or the proof of the pain ceasing? I prayed, I went to the Lord, and nothing seemed to happen. Is the pain ceasing? Nope. Or the swelling going down? Something you can feel or see? This is where we lose it. We look for the natural. We look for an instant sign. We pray and we're looking within before the prayer gets out of our mouth. We want some results. And if we don't see results right away, then we begin to question whether it's God's will for us to be healed. You ever been there? We look for the natural. And this is where I believe that we go wrong. Because what we see, what we feel is not the true evidence. That's not the evidence. The evidence is never having seen or not seen it at all is not faith. Because you don't see it or don't feel it or don't taste it doesn't mean that you're not healed. This is the evidence that we're looking for. But faith precedes possession because faith is the confidence and the assurance. And why do so many folks in foreign countries, why are they healed? Because they do not have Mayo Clinic. They don't have specialists. They don't have Blue Cross, Blue Shield. They have Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith, who said, by his stripes we are healed, and so on and so forth. There's so many scriptures. There's a volume of scriptures on God's promises to heal. Now, the human mind, our human nature, naturally gravitates and can only receive knowledge through our five senses, what we see, what we hear, what we feel, what we touch. These are the sole channels to the human mind. So we cannot receive our healing in the natural. It doesn't happen that way. But that is not faith. Faith is a spiritual matter. It has nothing to do with the five senses. And this is where the physical feeling that we have sometimes tricks us, sometimes fools us, because God is a spirit. Prayer is a spiritual matter. Praise God. And when we ask for healing, we don't have that instant proof. Our faith begins to fall apart, but it is not a physical evidence. It's a spiritual evidence of faith. Faith in God's word is our evidence. And I don't know if I'm getting this through to you, but when you understand this, you begin to not focus on the natural. You stop looking at the natural circumstances and begin to look at the promises of God. Now, I'd like to give you a behind-the-scenes illustration of what actually happens when our faith is put on trial. And this trial of faith is about healing, but it could be about finances. It could be about relationships. It could be about just about anything actually, because God can do anything. So for a moment, use your imagination. Let's picture a trial in a courtroom. It's a very strange, most unusual trial, for the one being tried is none other than the God Almighty of heaven and earth. And you are sitting as judge and jury. You ready for that? The prosecuting attorney is your human nature, and the attorney for the defense is the Holy Spirit. Now, God is accused of lying, of unfaithfulness, of obtaining things more valuable than money under false pretenses. Praise God. This is what God's being accused of when we refuse to believe his word. So, my human nature says this: my evidence is literal, it's tangible, it's evidence, it's real evidence you can see, feel, and hear. Because you can see for yourself that I'm not healed. The pain's still here. In fact, it's grown worse. Now, God gave you written promises as certainly as anyone ever gave a promissory note. I'm just reading this because this is the article that I just pasted this into my notes here. You conform to all of God's conditions. You prayed. You called for the elders of the church. They prayed. They anointed with oil. But you can see now my evidence. You can feel my evidence. You're still suffering. Ever been there? When your human nature is speaking to you, God, help us understand that we are in a supernatural world, that overrides anything in the natural. My human nature gives me evidence in you are not healed, therefore I demand you bring in a verdict of guilty. Guilty in the first degree. I demand you find the Almighty God guilty of lying and of obtaining your allegiance under false pretenses, of not performing what he has promised in his written promises. God is accused of willful non-payment of promissory notes. God has promised these things. Now you are setting, as the judge and jury have read God's command and written promises in James 5:14 for your physical healing. You understand that in Matthew 8:17 and 2 Peter 2:24 and Isaiah 53 and Psalms 103, all these scriptures point to the fact that God has and is a healer. And that your physical healing when you're sick should be a done deal. You prayed for your healing according to God's written promise. You followed God's instructions. You've called for the elders of the church. They've prayed over you and have anointed you with oil. The prosecuting attorney of human nature is attempting to convict God of obtaining your allegiance under false pretenses, of breaking his covenant, of lying. You know, this is amazing to me what we are allowing ourselves sometimes to believe when it so totally contradicts the Word of God. Now, I read to you that what my human nature says. Now, I'd like to have the Holy Ghost, and I think he's here tonight. He was here last week when he read for John. Let's see if he could read again.
But now, the attorney for the defense, God's Holy Spirit, speaks to you quietly, calmly. He says to you, I now present my evidence that God's word is true, that God is faithful, that God cannot lie. My evidence is not anything you can see or feel. My evidence is simple faith, patient trust in the veracity of God's word. It is impossible for God to lie. My evidence is your faith in that fact and in his promise. And faith is the evidence of that which is not seen, not felt. Let's review the case to see clearly what happened. Let's understand plainly where your human nature has clouded the issue and deceived you. God has told you in Exodus 15 that he is your healer, your God healer. That is one of his names, and God is named what he is. His word declares, his body was broken for you, and by his stripes you are healed. God gave you his word that it is his will to heal you. He commanded you to call the elders of the church, which you did. He promised to heal you. But God has also made it a part of this contract in his word that according to your faith be it unto you, in the very words of Christ. Now, faith is your evidence that God will do what he promised. You can't see faith. You can't feel it. But you see, or what you see or feel has nothing to do with faith. But the point your human nature wants you to overlook is that God did not promise when or how he would heal you. God's purpose in your life is to transform you from what you've been into the very image of his Son, into the very character of God himself. Part of this character is the learning of patience. And God instructs you in James 1 and 3 that the trying of your faith works patience into your character. God has revealed to you in this and other scriptures that he will sometimes delay healing you in order to try your faith. and to teach you to be patient. Your healing, God has promised, shall be according to your faith. Faith is trusting God to do that which he has not yet done. After the healing is completed, you no longer need to exercise faith. Faith is the ingredient you must exercise until God heals you, until you can see and feel that you are healed. After God has healed you, then you won't need faith in it any longer, but your faith must remain firm and steadfast and patient, regardless of what you see or feel, until God actually heals you, as he has promised to do.
Praise God. God did a great job, didn't he? He always does a great job. So my point tonight, and this is a short message, but I really hope that someone will be able to see the power of believing God's word in spite of what we can see and feel and hear and think. You know, I had never considered the fact that when I refused to believe God's word, that I was really calling God a liar, that I believed in my feelings more than I believed in his word. And if I will hold fast to these things, when I understand that, you know, it's so important that we understand that we can hide the word in our heart day after day after day. We can put scripture into our spirit that will cause us to believe when it doesn't seem like we should believing. We need to understand by the power of God's Holy Spirit, these trials that come to us are not designed to hurt us. They're designed to help us, designed to bring us to another level of faith. And those of you that have went through trials, I can tell you, I think our pastor and his wife have been through more trials than anybody that I personally know. But they came out of each one of these trials simply because they believed God, that all things do work the good of those who love the Lord. So the things that you're going through, those things can be passed on. When you go through a trial, when you go through a circumstance of your life, one of the great side benefits of this is that you are able then to comfort somebody else. You're able to come to the aid of a brother or sister and tell them, you know, I've been through this. I've endured this. Sister Leonardson has a great testimony of how God delivered her from depression. And others of you have, and I mean, I could sit here and talk to you about how God delivered me of certain things. And Brother Punzel, all of you have a testimony of how God has brought you through various trials and various circumstances. But see, these things never quit. I don't know, sometimes I think we get to a level of spirituality that these things no longer are going to happen to us. Oh, yes, they do, my friend. In fact, each time you pass a trial, then you get to another elevation. Another elevation has a different set of trials and circumstances. You say, oh, my God, here we are going, I'm going through this now, and I just been through that. But see, the fact that you made it through the last trial, the last adversity, the last circumstance prepares you for another level of commitment, another level of believing God. And if he healed you once, he'll heal you again. If he bailed you out of a financial crisis once before, he'll do it again, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you were a tremendous soul winner 14 years ago, 15 years ago, guess what? You can come right back to that place and that circumstance, and you could renew your relationship with God and become everything that you used to be. Praise God. God is not a respecter of persons. Once you say, God, forgive me, you can go right back and become rest assured that God has not only forgiven you, but he's forgotten even what you had, what had happened to you. 2 Corinthians 1:4, Paul talks about who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherein we ourselves are comforted of God. So once again, when we go through our trial, then that helps us go alongside of a brother, go alongside of a sister, and be able to comfort them because of the things that you've went through that makes you, you can become an advocate for them. You can become a helper to them. You can minister to them through the things that you've endured. John 16:33, you know, we talk about the great and wonderful things of Pentecost, and I believe every bit of it. But we still live in a world. The Bible says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. We've been told to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I shall be your God, you shall be my people. But we still live in a world that cheats and steals and smokes and drinks and does all kinds of crazy things that we used to all be involved in, perhaps. So, what do we do? Do we understand then that whatever happens to us is designed of God to bring us to another level? Praise God. Because the end of all this, 1 Peter 1 and 9, at the end of everything that happens to you, providing that you've passed these trials, you're going to receive the end of your faith. Praise God. Even the salvation of your soul. So God's perfecting us. He's trying us with fire. He's purifying us to get all the impurities out of us, to understand that we can't do anything without Him, but He can't do anything without us. And for God to be able to use us, we have to go through it to get to it. And it's never pleasant, Brother O'Neill, to go through things. But boy, when you go through something and you feel like you have endured, and you know that it was God who came to your rescue. You know that it was God's holy hand that touched you. You felt that warm presence of God just flow over you. Or you received a check in the mail, or something happened that you know it was God because you had a need. When we had our business years ago, I remember sitting there, my wife said, how are we going to make payroll? And I said, I don't know. She says, well, but we owe $25,000 in payroll. I said, well, God will provide. Next day, someone would send us a check, and we always seem to make it. But we, every day in business is a trial. Every day that you're, if you want to really increase your faith, start a business. Seriously. The businessman should live by faith, right, Dave? There's good times and there's bad times. And when the bad times come, you know, you think because you're so spiritual, somehow it's not going to happen to you. Oh, yes, it will. You just wait on, because bad times are coming. But because we serve a God who has promised, regardless of what happens, regardless of what's coming our way, there will be a day, my friend, when He's going to say, well done, my good and my faithful servant. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Praise God, praise God. You could stand with me at this time. My prayer tonight is that some of you may be going through a struggle. Maybe you need some hope. And we know that faith is the substance of things hoped for. We know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I'm hoping that the word that went forth this evening would encourage some of you to take another step of faith, to go another extra mile, that the pain that you feel in your body or the circumstances of your life, they're not going to be there forever. Because God's not going to allow these things to crush you. He's allowed these things to come because He thought you were big enough to withstand them. If you're here tonight and perhaps you've never known the power of God and you've never had received the gift of God's Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in another language, I encourage you tonight by faith to come down here. If you're looking to start anew, when I came to God some 30 years ago, Brother O'Neill, I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was sick and tired of having DWIs. I was sick and tired of alcohol and drugs and the lifestyle I was living and the friends that I had. And I wanted to change. And I didn't know what to do, but I knew this, that the people that seemingly were in this church were a whole lot better off than I was. And I thought to myself, you know, I don't even know if there's a God. But if there is a God, I'm going to find Him. And I found Him here at Calvary Gospel Church. Little did I know that God was looking for me. God's looking for you tonight. If you're here tonight, God's looking for you. He wants to help you, not hinder you. We get calls every single day from people. Literally, they're going through monumental problems and circumstances in their life. And Dave and Ellen are teaching a ton of Bible studies, but they understand and know this, that these trials and tribulations and things are coming their way. God's designed these things to get their attention. See, God begins to close doors on you. He starts taking options from you until you begin to realize. Someone was just telling me a story today about a man who used to serve God, and he turned his back on the Lord. Not from this church, but in another church. And things are closing in on him. He has a business, and things should be a lot better than that because of the professional that he's in, but it's not. He's losing everything. But you know what he'd have to do? All he'd have to do is say, Lord God, forgive me. Draw me back again, Lord Jesus. See, you've never went too far as long as you have breath. As long as you can say, God, forgive me of my sin, he will take you back. You say, but you don't know what I've done, Pastor. Well, you don't know God very well because he's willing to forgive you of all of your sin and all of your iniquity.